That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning, August 1st, 2015. And we say good morning to you out there. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Lord. Beautiful day. We thank you for that out there. And again, we welcome you here. And we are coming to you live from a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. Blue skies, green grass, and we are well into summer and just experiencing a beautiful summer here. We hope you're having great weather where you're at as well. And we thank you for joining us this morning. Hopefully you have your coffee with you, have your Bibles open, might read a little bit, share a few scriptures this morning, and some current events. But Jason, would you open us up in prayer first, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon us. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do and throughout this program, Father, and we pray that you be with our people across this land, Father. We pray that you tend to their needs. We pray not only for us, but for those that are yours, that belong to you, that wear your brand, that are across this country. We pray that we pray on that full armor of God, and we pray it, we believe it, we live it, we ask for it, we desire it, Father. We know that our protection comes from you, and that you are our first and foremost protection. And we pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints. And we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. We pray that you continue to to teach us how to wield the weapons that you put in our hands, that you'd give us access, that you have given us access to, Father. We pray that you paint that target on our enemies, Father, and let us know the ones that we are to target with these spiritual weapons of warfare that are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We pray that you deliver them into our hands. And those that dig a pit for us, Father, let them be the ones that fall into it. We pray that you see to it that those that fight against us, they fight against you, Father, for we are your people, and we put ourselves under your command, and we just ask, Father, for you to see to it that they are defeated, Father, that you go before us and that you bring them down, that you give us more of that Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can sense them, Father, that we can have a discerning spirit, Father, that we know what to do and what not to do at the times that you have it, have us to take action, Father. We pray that you quicken us in our spirit, Father, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit moving in your people across this land on different fronts, Father. We just pray, Father, for the deliverance, Father, that you have planned for us, Father. We know that without being in that Red Sea predicament, you can't have that Red Sea deliverance, Father, and we thank you for it, and we hunger and thirst for it. And, Father, we cry out to you for justice in this land once again, Father. Oh, Father, we want it. We want to see it. We want to see it in our streets, Father, and we just cry out for it. Father, we lift up our enemies. You know who they are, and we just pray, Father, for their utter destruction, Father, each and every one of them, those that war with us, Father, we want them brought down. We want them brought down, Father, and we pray that you deal them with as you see fit, Father, and we just thank you for this opportunity to you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Well, John, have anything you want to lead off with this morning? Anything? I got a couple things down here. If not,
no. I went to a funeral yesterday. My old boss, man who hired me 20 years ago, a man I admire, big man, about 350 pounds and 6'2", and but pretty much a big teddy bear, had a major heart attack about 18 years ago, quadruple bypass, didn't know if he'd make it off the table. God gave him another 18 years, and he took that to heart. He changed. He was a changed man after that. Before that point, there was things that he was doing that weren't right, you know, that he knew wasn't right. And he, after he, God gave him that second chance, he changed his life. And I think it was a good testimony for a lot of people who were there. But the other thing was, you know, you can agree with 80% of what that preacher said. It was a Lutheran church. I grew up Lutheran, so a lot of that stuff I knew. But then comes the lie, you know, that because Jesus died on the cross, you won't face judgment. Well, yes, you will face judgment. And in their own Apostles' Creed, it basically says because you're baptized, which is sprinkled, by the way, that you're saved, and really nothing you can do can keep you from the kingdom, and that's a lie as well. So we just remember that rat poison's 98% cornmeal and 2% poison, and as all those people were bowing their heads and nodding their heads and yeah, you know, agreeing, I was like, that's a lie, you know, that's a lie. But I don't know, I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah, and we got a lot of those lies out there. I mean, it seems like every religion, you know, has them, and it's something to be aware of, that's for sure. You know, I noticed that when I've been doing a lot of driving lately back and forth between Colorado and Wyoming, and listening to the Christian radio station, it's, you know, you can agree with some of these guys on there for a certain period of time, and it's like they'll go down the list, and it's like, yep, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. And, you know, but, and sometimes I think it's good to, you know, it's good to listen and to, you know, check these things with the scripture, because it's, you know, so many people, they are used to just hearing what that, you know, that fork tongue preacher is saying, and they'll go on, and they'll go down the list. and they'll be spewing these lies, and people don't know any better, you know, and they just take it for the gospel, and they can twist and turn things so fast, and you know, the hardest part is people have a hard time believing that a preacher would lie to them.
Yeah. The other thing I learned is it's not just Baptist preachers that are fat. Well, I need to correct something from last week, apparently. I got a email that says, Richard mentioned Rudyard Kipling's poem, The Wrath of the Angry Saxons, and you quickly corrected him as When the Saxons Began to Hate. And, well, I've seen it represented both ways, but, hey, Richard, if I wronged you in any way and corrected you of something that you were correct of, then I apologize.
Oh, not at all, but sure, apology accepted, but no wrong done at all. It, I think one of the old, I think that was the old title to it, The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. But I know our pastor, you know, we printed it and put it out in the newsletter several times, and that was the subtitle that he gave it, you know, was when the, because that... Yeah. That fits more today. That, I think, is in more in the language that the people today can understand when the Anglo-Saxon begins to hate. Because,
right.
You know, and I think they both fit as the title to it. And, yeah, our pastor sure.
Well, the reality is, is it that important, you know?
Right.
There's a lot more important things to be worrying about than the title of a song. Bottom line is that both of those sayings create the same meaning, and the meaning is... When the Saxon begins to hate,
yep.
the wrath of when the Saxon begins to hate.
Yes.
And Lord willing, the Saxon is beginning to hate evil.
They right? sure need to.
Amen.
Yep, they sure need to. You know, with you get so much, one of the lies out there is that God doesn't hate. And God hates. If you're reading your Bible, if you're using the Bible reading plan, you've read already several times, even if you're only into Isaiah, how God hates. When you read the Psalms, you read that, you know, King David said, "Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord?" And David was not rebuked for that. God didn't come down and say, "Oh, now, David, wait a minute. You misunderstand here. We're supposed to love. You love those that hate me, David. That's what you're supposed to do." No, we see no such rebuke there. And if you're reading through your Bible, you see that, you know, several times that God, he hates sin. You'll read there, hey, the seven things he hates, the lying tongue, the haughty look, among others. And that's one of the lies, too, that, oh, our God is a God of love. Now, he certainly is, but... The flip side of that coin, if you love, you must hate in order to love. And I think that's another one of those lies that are just spewed out in the Judeo-Christian church world. And the people just love to have it so. But if they would just...
You can't have the perfect love without the perfect hate.
No.
That's the bottom line.
Not at all. And it that's part of the spell that the people are under. Is they just don't, or they just won't realize that. You know, if you hate your family, I mean, if you love your family, whoo, got to drink some more coffee this morning. If you love your family, then you would hate anyone that would try to do them harm. And I mean, that principle is in the Bible. It's not that that's, you know, something that is so far out there. But yet, with these Judeo-Christians, it just is all sloppy, agape love. Love, love, love. And, you know, God hated the Canaanites. That's why he told our people to wipe them off the face of the earth. Because he knew that when we intermingled with them, when we took their daughters for our sons and gave our sons to their daughters, that we would end up serving their gods. And that's how it is. And we read, you read that throughout the Old Testament. And the people just don't seem to want to believe that at all.
Well, and you know, you think about it, it's I've often wondered, you know, we were told to wipe these people out, you know, several times in you know, in the scriptures. You know, yep. Told to wipe them out, that they were, you know, and I believe that so much of the time we're reaping the repercussions of not obeying God's law.
Absolutely.
In the times that we're living in today. But who's to say, I mean, it's far out there, but who's to say that if they wouldn't have been wiped out, who's to say that those aren't the child molesters? Those weren't the rapists. That those weren't the, you know, the murderers, the stealers, the killers, the destroyers. And that we're seeing the things that were happening today because it's passed on through a genetic bloodline. I mean, yep. I ain't saying that that's the way it is, but I'm saying it's an interesting thought to entertain. And another thing is you know, these people, you know, you just think about it, and these people want to accept and they want to love, you know, these child rapists, you know, these pedophiles that have raped, you know, 4 or 5 year old boys and girls repeatedly, been to jail on it, and you know, and we've got all these repeat offenses of these people that have done this time and time again, went to jail, got caught, went to jail, and are out on the streets again. Now, you know, it's one thing not to like them, but I mean, if somebody does not have a hatred for that, and doesn't have a hatred for that, they don't have a love for children. You know, they don't have, you know, you know, there's something wrong. They're skewed in the mind if they cannot look upon that with disgust and hatred.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, we touched briefly last Sunday, and I think Richard's going to talk about it more, but that satanic statue that was released in Detroit last Saturday, a week ago, and apparently the reason they picked Detroit was last year the group chose Detroit as the location for its first national chapter. Detroit is our first and primary chapter, spokesman Doug Messner saying by email. We feel at home in Detroit. Now think about Detroit. What is Detroit? I don't know if you saw the pictures, but when they showed the pictures of Hiroshima after it was bombed, there was nothing left. There was nothing but ruins. And now they show Hiroshima today, and it's this bright, huge city that's thriving. And then they showed pictures of Detroit, and Detroit looks just like it did Hiroshima after it was bombed out. So I guess it's fitting that they would choose Detroit as the first headquarters of their satanic cult. But a couple other things.
You look at Detroit, I mean, with houses, it was you know, that city is pretty much destroyed. It wasn't that, but a couple years ago, I mean, I think what was the biggest city to ever file bankruptcy, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and you look at the houses. I mean, there are subdivisions in Detroit that they have just chained off, and nobody's in. Nobody lives there anymore.
Yep.
That kind of stuff, well, is all over Detroit. Detroit is one of the places that you don't want to be, especially if you're a white person. There's streets down there that if you're white, you don't go down. You will, you know, they will do their best to kill you before you get to the other end.
Right. Well, you know, when I was a kid, we'd take family vacations, and we'd take vacation from Illinois to Michigan. And one of the things you did was you went to Detroit because you wanted to see those huge auto manufacturers, you know. And all of those people who lived, in Detroit, in Ohio, and all the surrounding states, in Wisconsin, all that, they had good jobs. They were, you know, I'm not pro-union or against union or whatever, but all those people had good jobs, and they had good homes and good livelihoods, and all that's been destroyed basically by all of these foreign treaties and agreements.
It has been. Detroit is symbolic of the America that was once great. That America that, you know, Detroit was the automobile capital of the world. And
yep.
It is no more. And so why wouldn't satanic worshipers want to go to the representative city, the city that has one of the highest crime rates in the world, and the city that is symbolic of the destruction of America, of America, how great she once was when people had jobs, like you said, John. And it, you know, Detroit used to not have the high crime rate that it has now. And the people used to be able to work. The father in the home, the husband in the home was able to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. The wife didn't have to work. She stayed home. And it was very symbolic just a few generations ago of the American dream, of being able to work your way up, to be able to work hard and to have a home paid for. Oh, it might not be 1,000 acres out in the country, but it was a home, and you could have it paid for, and you had a vehicle or two to drive, and you got those paid for, and the people were able to be successful, at least in the physical.
Yeah,
that is no more.
It's interesting. It's interesting too. I looked into it one time, but there was a relative of Sigmund Freud. I think it was a nephew or uncle or something, but he's the one that basically transformed America, the true JERUSALEM, from a society of needs into a society of wants. And they did that by showing, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, and you know, your neighbor has a brand new car in their driveway, and then in order to accomplish that, they had to figure out how to enslave the people. Well, then they started credit, you know, and they started offering credit cards, and it's just it's kind of a diabolical plan, but it's like a 100-year plan to conquer God's people and to destroy them. And boy, we're deep into that curse phase of Deuteronomy 28. But as I've been looking into this statue thing a little bit more, this is the one that we talked about where they wanted to put it in Oklahoma, but now it appears that it's heading for Arkansas. And as I'm reading this, they were saying the people who attend should be cocktail attire. And then it says, dress to impress the devil. But if you look at that statue on the abdomen, there is basically the AMA symbol. Did you guys notice that? It's a staff with the two snakes.
Didn't notice that.
They're showing us. They're showing us what they're doing right there.
Yeah, the other thing about the statue is there's two children that are on either side of it that are, you know, looking up.
Yeah, admiring it.
With admiration towards it. And, of course, the way that it's a bronze statue, but you can tell that the little girl's a little white girl and the little boy's a little black boy.
Yeah.
And again, that is their plan. It nothing happens by coincidence with them. And it is that is their plan. I saw a news article that the Supreme Court in Oklahoma ruled that the Ten Commandments cannot remain on the state ground because it promotes religion, and that's unconstitutional. And so since they voted that, that's one of the reasons that this Baphomet, or I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but this goat-headed satanic statue, that's one of the reasons they decided not to take it to Oklahoma. They said, well, if the Ten Commandments aren't going to be there, we don't need to put this there. And you know, the people in this country need to wake up and realize that it is war. It is no different than the Japanese Zeros zooming in and shooting and bombing the ships in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. It is no different than that. It is absolute war. The children of darkness versus the children of light. And we see we see what the children of darkness are doing. If just the remnant will continue to wake up and to see that very thing. And if you're reading through, if you're using the Bible reading plan, you should be, it's August now, you should be about a third of the way, maybe a fourth of the way through Isaiah. But, boy, you read back at the beginning of Isaiah. And again, we've said it before, but these should be very familiar scriptures if you've been around this ministry for any time. Because Isaiah was a prophet that was sent to the people, and the people were in a captivity. And we're in a captivity today. Isaiah starts out 1:3, an ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And the people today don't understand. You know, I think it lines up here and says, even nature, animals in nature understand. But you, true Israel, you don't understand. You don't understand. And then over in Isaiah 2, it says, come, house of Jacob, Isaiah 2, starting in verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. And that's, you know, it's saying that God has abandoned his people. Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. And that's why we are in this today. Because we haven't come out of her, my people. We haven't been separate in these last few generations like we were at first. We were separate. We were different when this nation was founded. But now, right there, they are filled with influences from the east. Let me tell you something, folks. Pedophilia is an influence from the east. Homosexuality is an influence from the east. The land being filled with idols, it says right there, verse 8, their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Those are the influences of the East that have come upon us. The Hinduism, the Shinto, the Islam, all of that that has come in. And we're seeing that become mainstream here in this country. And it is sin. It was sin in the days of Isaiah. And it's sin in the days today. Well, guys, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Kenneth from Louisiana. I asked myself this question. Why a satanic statue in Detroit? And I considered this. The NFL football team in Detroit is called the Detroit Lions. And the Bible says that Satan comes as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's
yeah.
Why. I noticed the little white girl with the black boy in that statue. And to me, that was more evil than the statue itself. But let me say this. There were two young white couples in Detroit were victims of a crime. And it happened, I think, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. Apparently, two young, within an hour of each other, they were kidnapped and... They were robbed, and the female was raped, and the media didn't mention the race of the attackers, and they didn't mention the race of the victims. But anyway, that's part of the conspiracy, and people got to understand, black people are being programmed through the media and pornography to go after the white female, and our people need to wake up. And if our people together, you know, can read together, white Israelite people can read together, Nehemiah 9:2, it would do our race a lot of good.
Amen.
That's right.
Ken,
right,
thanks for your call. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
And another phone line's ringing here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Wranglers. God bless. This is Jim from Minnesota.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Hey. I have a question about Isaiah. Oh, I'm on that Bible reading program.
Uh-huh.
Put on too. It's really great. First time I've ever read the Bible. You know, straight through. It's a blessing. I'm coming closer to
Amen.
God.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, I really thank you guys for get on the air every day, and I listen to you guys on shortwave up here, so I'll let you know that.
Well, good. Thanks for letting us know.
Sure.
How's the signal coming in?
Pretty good. Some, not bad, you know. I have an antenna going out the window and everything, a wire and everything, so.
Okay.
Good. It comes in pretty good.
What part of the state are you in?
Pardon me?
What part of the state are you in?
I'm just north of, about 20 miles north of Minneapolis.
Okay.
Thanks.
Concerning Isaiah, do you guys have any educational material to better understand Isaiah as I'm reading these prophecies?
We got one booklet called Isaiah's Job. I don't know if you're familiar with that one at all. Are you?
No. I have the catalog here, so I'm going to probably order that one. Isaiah's Jobs.
Yeah, Isaiah's Job. It's a small pamphlet, and it okay. it does it lends a little insight into Isaiah and what he was called to do, because you know there's some things in here that and John mentions it in volume 5 of the newsletter that is in the mail and along those lines in Isaiah 20. God tells him, "Go and loosen the sackcloth from your hips and take your shoes off your feet," and he did so, going naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, "Even as my servant Isaiah has gone naked and barefoot 3 years as a sign and token against Egypt and Cush." And then he goes on and talks about further captivities. And so, you know, there's some things that that God instructed the prophet Isaiah to do that we would look on as quite strange today. Maybe even we would call it, as you talk about in your article, John, in the newsletter, we would call it a sin. But God instructed Isaiah to do things. And, you know, when God instructs his people, I'm not talking about the Canaanites or Esau, but when he instructs his people to do things, it's not sin. He has his purpose. And but we'll do that. Jim, do you have our office number? You want to give us a call Monday, and we'll, or if you got the catalog, you can take a look. Give us a call. And
what's the office number on that?
Yeah, the office number 307-742.
Okay.
7582. And so folks, if you're listening, again, that's the office number. Give us a call Monday through Friday 8 to 5. If we're not in, the recording is on, but the office number 307-742-7582, and we'd be glad to take care of that for you.
Yeah, I have one more quick question. Sorry to take all your time. What is? I'm trying to find that book in the catalog. They Dared to Speak Out. Is that in there? You know,
yes.
Offhand, or should
yes.
I call, should I call the office later?
No, it's in there. I don't know the number right off, and I don't.
Okay, I'll go through it again then. I must have missed it.
Yeah, but it's in there. We still carry it. It's been, you know, they have a fairly new reprint out, and that's in their own words, in the enemy's own words, what they do and what they are.
Okay, great. Is your name John?
Well, I'm Richard. You hear John?
I'm John. I'm on here too.
Yeah, there's John and Jason.
Oh, hi, John.
In there
Thanks,
as well.
Jim.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank
thanks
you.
For calling.
Yeah, Jim, thanks
well, God
for
bless. Have a good, have a blessed day, and our prayers are out to you guys all the time, so,
right.
Okay?
Thank you, brother. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
You as well.
You know, that's encouraging. We hear from people like John or Jim all the time. We do. Had a call, a guy called in Friday, and said, "Hey, I'm not on your mailing list, but I listen to shortwave all the time." Made a contribution, and wanted me to send him a catalog, and so he could order some things. But God has His remnant all over, and many people say, "You know, we need to get together. We need to make a town, or we need to go to this city and take this city over, or this and that." God has His remnant scattered, one here, two there, for a reason. I know the pastor talked quite a bit, saying that it's probably for our safety that we are scattered about. And then, you know, I think part of it too is we're all still stiff-necked Israelites and wanting to do things our way. And I think that's another reason that why God has us scattered throughout, is it's not time to bring everybody together yet. But it is encouraging. We hear from people like Jim, and that I mean, it's one thing, we and it's really good to hear from people on the ministry. We get emails, we have correspondence, we talk with people on the phone. But there's so many out there that we don't know who they are, where they are. But you know, the enemy doesn't know who they are or where they are either. And that's how God works. He has his people in places you would least likely expect.
Yeah, another interesting thing I noticed was the leaders of this satanic temple say that all the proceeds that they've made, including the website that they've set up, is all going to defend anybody who is pro-life. So that there's another witness right there of they understand the power of those sacrifices of our children to their god, Satan, which is no different than the sacrifices to Moloch.
Absolutely.
And
going to talk about that tomorrow morning.
That's significant.
Yeah, that there's a huge tie-in between that Planned Parenthood and the it's just the sacrifices to Moloch all over again. And you may say, Moloch, who is Moloch? I don't sacrifice to Moloch. Well, that's good if you don't. But if you don't know what it is, come to church tomorrow morning, talking about that in a little review of the news, because it's something that's in the news. And it does all tie together, this Baphomet statue, the recent things that have come out concerning Planned Parenthood. And, you know, the Bible tells us there truly is nothing new under the sun. And it's a way that our people sinned in the past, and we find that we've fallen right back into that again, that our enemy has directed us.
It's not a coincidence either that AMA symbol is on that abdomen of this Baphomet or Baphomet, whatever statue, just like, because think about it. How many of our sick and our elderly and our weak are murdered as well? That's a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
But they only prey on the weak and the sick and the helpless because they're cowards. God's showing us these things. That, you know, if we get on our knees and we fall upon our faces and we cry out to God, Lord, no more. No more let there be this innocent bloodshed. Cut them off from their power, and we will have the victory. So I hope you're praying at noon. I hope you're fasting and praying as the Lord leads you, as the Holy Spirit leads you. And you can see already there's legislation coming down to defund Planned Parenthood. It's not its destruction that we've called for, but it sure is a good start.
Well, what's interesting too is that, you know, you think about the, you know, Numbers 21:8 talks about and it was actually, I think this AMA symbol was a counterfeit of what God had told Moses to do. You know,
yeah.
When it talked about when the snakes were coming up, Moses was commanded to take that and make a brazen serpent and put it on a staff. And that when the Israelites were bitten by the snakes, when they looked upon it, they were healed. And
right.
It's interesting because you take that, and, you know, I believe that that's where that AMA symbol came to it. You know, before it was something, that was something that God created, God instituted, and God had one of his, one of our forefathers do, you know, and it was for healing. And they've taken that, they took that symbol, and now it's become as simple as you're looking to them for health and healing.
Yes.
And It's kind of interesting to look at the correlation, and there's no doubt in my mind that that's where they came up with that AMA symbol.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, you think about the rainbow, too. The filthy faggot queers stole the symbol that God said that he would never flood, his promise that he would never flood the earth again, and they've turned it into their symbol for debauchery, you know?
Exactly.
Well, a few minutes left here. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in and have a comment this morning, this first day of August 2015.
Go ahead.
Sounds like a good newsletter article for a future newsletter.
Yeah. Interesting, on some good news, Colorado recently, they went before, you know, this fluoride, they have basically, we've got federal fluoride standards for what federally they recommend for fluoride, adding, you know, how much fluoride is added to the water. And this year they actually dropped the number of milligrams per liter. Before it was 8, and then they dropped it to 7, which isn't a very good drop. You know, we'd like to see it all without any water, you know, no fluoride in the waters at all. But there was actually several counties and several cities and several water districts that dropped out and said they're not fluoridating their water anymore at all, period. And I was pretty encouraged by that. That's been a fight that's been going on for a long time and, you know, has really gained momentum. You know, a lot of the dentists and the people they're fighting it, saying, well, you know, we need to do this. You know, they're still playing the same old song and dance. You know, we need to do this to prevent cavities in people. But people are saying, the interesting thing is people are saying, you know what, we don't think it's the government's job to medicate our teeth. And saying, you know, that as it may, we don't want it. You know, we think we should be responsible for taking care of ourselves. And you know that's huge, considering they've been drinking fluoridated water for 30 years now, or more. But we had several county cities here in Colorado that said no, we're done, and they within the next 90 days will not be adding any more fluoride to the drinking water system. And you know, that's huge. And I think that's pretty awesome. And it's, you know, people that have. That are making a stand on it, you know. We've still got them pushing it in a lot of different studies. But even with, you know, the new Harvard studies are showing the effects of fluoride, which before they've always been a pro fluoride deal. They've come out and said that fluoride will actually lower IQ levels, and that's just in the last. 2.5-3 years where they've changed their cue to that, and, you know, and people are slow to catch on to things like that, but they've put out some good studies on it, and you've had some of the big companies that have come out and they're actually saying, you know what, we made a mistake, because they're getting caught in their lies and people are pushing and they're like, you know, they're bringing the evidence forward saying back up what you're trying to say, and they can't, and they haven't been able to. So, you know, I was really encouraged by that, and I think people should do. I mean, I think it's some of the good news that's out there that things are happening.
Amen. Why don't you explain what you were saying about that survey that they did about Pope Francis?
Well, yeah, and that's where I was going to go next. You know, another thing is you know. When we started talking about how long ago did we start talking about Pope Francis being the Antichrist? I mean, it was, you know, 2 years ago. A
couple weeks after he got in.
Yeah, I think it was actually before he got in, but around that time, you know, and it's interesting because the Drudge Report came out this last week, and they did a survey. And they wanted to ask people whether Pope Francis is the Antichrist. Basically, they quoted and asked and talked about his stand on homosexuality, his views on Islam, capitalism, the New World Order, and they started asking people, you know, is this possibly the second coming of the Antichrist? And And actually, they're saying that Pope Francis has lost, as far as the conservatives, the so-called conservatives that followed Pope Francis and looked up to him, he's pretty much, they're pretty much done with him. I mean, people are turning away from him like crazy. Another interesting fact is that if you type into Google, is Pope Francis the Antichrist? You'll get about 425,000, just under half a million results in right around a half a second. So that tells you, I mean, and those are mostly articles on Pope Francis being the Antichrist. Half a million papers, he's referenced as being the Antichrist over half a million times in 0.37 seconds, which tells you that it's a very searchable, very commonly searched queue. Wow. Also, you know, if you look at a comparison, if you type in, is Pope Benedict Antichrist, you'll get 137,000 things on it, but it'll take you just about a second to get that. So that tells you that that just shows you the spread. People are very fed up with this Pope Francis, and it's really interesting. I think I think that's another encouraging thing. I mean, to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think as we continue to watch that unfold, we'll see more and more evidence and truth.
Oh, absolutely. I think so, too. I think we're going to see more and more stuff, come out, too. And
he's going to speak,
you know, there's people that since Francis has gotten in there and become the Pope that are turning away and saying, you know what, I used to kind of consider myself a Catholic, now I don't want to have anything to do with it.
No.
Well, praise the Lord.
Their eyes are being opened.
They've heard, and they're running away from the lie. Yeah, we got to watch. I think it might be September that the Pope's coming here to the U.S., and he's basically going to speak before the United Nations. And what they're trying to do is pass these world, not just national anymore, it's world laws. And it's all based on, global warming.
World order.
Yeah, and that agenda,
new world order. Absolutely.
All that. Guys,
the world order, agenda 21, I mean, all that stuff, it really ties into it. I mean,
yeah, and he's set to speak before both the House and the Senate for the first time, I believe, the first time in history. So we're watching historic things unfold before our eyes.
Yeah. Guys, got a couple callers. Let's take a couple calls this morning.
Sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes. The book of Ruth. Now, remember, Jesus said he is the truth. What do you think the odds are that book would only need a cross at the beginning to spell the word truth? A book that is specifically about the kinsman redeemer. Look at the word elect. L, the E's on each side of an L. The commandments were five on one stone and five on another. Then you had the letter C, pronounced like we pronounce to C, and then a cross at the end of it. And Pastor Peters, he said about Lazarus that Jews there did him malice, but you don't see the there's no words that say that, and so he basically heard that. Now, the law says if you want to stay with your master after 7 years, I think, you put your ear to the door. And Jesus said he is the door of the sheepfold. you have to put your ear close to the door. And to just say, well, that saves me from hell, well, it could save you from a lot of other things. Look at the word sparks in the book of Job. In a King James Bible, get a strong concordance. You think that word means sparks? It don't. It means suns.
Hey, we appreciate your comments. Very interesting comments.
No,
we do.
Don't.
We need to make sure we look at these words. We sure appreciate that. And we have another caller here. Hey, good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. John in Southeast Texas.
Good morning, John. How are things in Beaumont?
Oh, things are fine. It's nice and warm. Warming up nicely this morning. We had close to 100 yesterday. Good morning, Jason. Good morning, John.
Morning. How are you doing today?
Morning, John.
I'm doing fine. I tell you, I'm so blessed, it's hard to get dressed. I have a little word of encouragement. I have a little word of encouragement for you and for all of our family, the Remnant. I am about halfway into Jeremiah now, and I want to read you a couple of scriptures out of chapter 17, if I may.
All right.
Oh Lord, you alone can heal me. You alone can save. My praises are for you alone. You alone are my hope in the day of disaster. And I just want to encourage everyone out there, everyone that can hear me right now. Our Father loves us, and we love him, and we praise you, King Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
Y'all have
a
good
John.
Day.
You too. God
Bye.
Bless. And still got a little time here, don't we?
Yeah, it gets easy to get a little down sometimes when you see the things going on. So that's encouraging.
Amen.
We just have to remember that greater is he that is for us than those that are against us, and no
Amen.
Weapon formed against us shall prosper. And
Amen.
Stand on those truths, and if we're obedient, if we come to that complete obedience that the Lord demands of his people, the Remnant, then his word is clear. He will punish their disobedience.
Amen. Right there where John was reading in Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes." The heat's coming. Hey, the heat's here. Not talking about summertime 104 degrees. The heat's here. But the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord will not fear. And it says, "But its leaves will be green, it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." We read in the Word, don't grow weary of doing good. Not at all. Got time for one more caller here before we wrap up. Oh, lost that one. I guess not. So, well, guys, any closing thoughts? Got another couple of minutes here, maybe another 4 or 5 minutes. Do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at church at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. Right there on the left-hand side of the home page, click on the live video stream at 10 a.m. Mountain Time and join us for a review of the news. For a welcome by John, we'll have some music with Paul and have a communion service and a Holy Spirit-inspired message. It'll give you an opportunity to sing some praises to God, hopefully to learn maybe a thing or two, maybe just to be reminded of a thing or two from the Scriptures, and give you an opportunity to fellowship with the saints. So we do encourage you, we invite you to join us for church services on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. Real men don't go to church.
Not those.
But they do attend the seer services.
Yeah, there you go. Amen. Amen. You know, that term itself, the Judeo-Christian church, if you're listening, Remnant, if you haven't thought about it before, you know, Judaism denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Christianity is based on Jesus Christ being the only, the true, the Son of God. And so, how can you have a denying Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, religion or ethic or church? And the answer is you can't.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron.
It is. It's double-mindedness. It's a spell. We have a small booklet called A Double-Minded People that Pastor Peters did years ago that explains that very thing. That when two contrasting views are put into the people's minds and they believe them both, then they're put in a spell. They're driven to inaction. And so you cannot go to a Judeo-Christian church. You cannot claim a Judeo-Christian ethic because they are contrast. They're like the opposite sides of a magnet. You try to put them together and they push apart. You know, you can't bring the opposites together. You can't. And so ask your pastor. You know, if you go, maybe you're just tuning through on shortwave. If you go to a church that claims Judeo-Christian, we teach Judeo-Christianity. Yeah, we Christianity came from Judaism. No, that's a lie burped out of the pits of hell. But ask your pastor that.
Be prepared to leave.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Be kicked out.
Yeah, be prepared. Be prepared. Well, we do thank you for joining us here. I guess we could go out with a song. We've got a song, but we'll have another one here by our pastor. And there's only one thing that saves, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed willingly. And he said, no man comes to the Father except through him. No man. Nothing but the blood. Guys, thanks for joining us. We will see you at church tomorrow.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
snow. No other fount I know. stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay kind. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more. Stay kind. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.